Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. We greet you tonight in the name of the Lord. We're so happy to be here. Let us bow our heads and our hearts. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you and praise you for a beautiful day that you give us, Lord. And we thank you for the health and strength, Lord, we have physically, mentally, and spiritually, Lord. Lord, to have a desire to walk with you, have a desire for more revelation, Lord, for more of your presence, for more, Lord, of all that you have for us in this hour. And Lord, we just ask that you would take the furtherance of this service, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. Draw us, guide us, Lord, in all things. Teach us, Father, for you promised that you would teach your children, Lord, that you would lead them and guide them, Lord, and that the teacher would be dwelling in them. And Lord, you know all things. And Lord, we ask you for revelation. We ask you, Lord, for the leading of the Spirit. Lord, as we thank you and praise you, may you bless Brother Goomba, bless his family, Lord, each one, as you know the every need, every heart, Sister Evelyn, Lord, the different ones, you know, every situation. And we commit all to you now, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. We greet you in the name of the Lord. We want to say we're happy to report we were able to speak with Brother Goomba today, and we had a good talk with him and Sister Goomba. We were able to FaceTime with them and have a little bit of fellowship, and he updated us a little bit on the trip. I told him that he looked a bit tired, and because he's just been on the go ever since he left. And so he preached those services there. He preached Sunday in Pakistan. Then he got on the plane on Monday. He traveled all night. And then he didn't arrive until Tuesday. And then Tuesday, they have their midweek service on Tuesday evening. So he came straight home from traveling night and day, and then went right to the pulpit, preached again. And so I caught him. He had just eaten, I think it was around 9:30 there when we called. And so he was just laying on the couch, and he had just ate. And he did look tired, but he was happy. He was really happy, rejoicing in the Lord and the meetings that he had there. So we're certainly looking forward to him sharing those things with us when he gets back. And now he's preparing also to travel Western there. I think he told me, if I tell you, I'll tell you wrong. It's Kisumu, I think. I think Kisumu. And so does that sound right, Sister? So there's several of them on the western side, and I get them confused sometimes. There's Kisii, Kisumu, and then I forget which ones are close to what sometime. Because I was asking him if he was going to Pukat, and he said that was a bit far from there. So I was thinking of a different place that's a little bit closer. But anyways, just continue to pray for him and for his traveling. I had asked him about, because his last day there, there was the skirmishes had started again. India was retaliating again for the things that Pakistan had done. And so, but he, thank God, he missed all of that and was able to get out before anything else went on. So we thank God. So now we're coming in part seven here on the climax age, and we want to start off tonight in a message called leadership, and this is a great message. And sometimes you read the titles, and there's a number of titles like this. Another one is I think of right now is your life worthy of the gospel? And you read the title, and you think sometimes, oh, am I doing? I'm a good boy. I did this. I did this. I did this. And that's not what he's talking about. And he's talking about, is it worthy? Is your life worthy? Yeah. In other words, is that life, is it living in you? And this here that he's talking about here, he's talking about meeting the person of eternal life. Yeah. Yes, he's not just talking about being led around. He does talk about how people are led by the things of the world and the choices they make and those things, but he's going much in a much greater and deeper way. So beginning at one paragraph 144, he said, "We've turned a corner. We've turned a corner." And so Brother Branham typed that many times. He talked about how the ministry comes on the scene and how through the church ages. And he said, when you're building a building, he said, you can have anybody. And I've been a Mason, and Brother Michael's a Mason. And so I've done that kind of work. And you know, when somebody is learning, they start off mixing the mud and carrying the bricks and doing those things. And when they start to lay, the Mason builds the corners. They build up the corners. Now they use speed poles for everything. But in the old days, a Mason came and he built the corner. And so it went off both directions and it just stair-stepped up. And so he built those corners. And then the ones that were learning, they could bring anybody in then, and they'd stretch a string, a line, from corner to corner. And so these boys that were learning, they just had to put the mud down and lay the block, and they just brought it right to the line. But that Mason, he didn't have no line. He didn't have nothing to go by. He just had a level, maybe a square, and he was able to build that up. And so Brother Branham said, when you're just going along, like we were going through the church ages, those reformers were okay. All that was okay. You all the different preachers, all the different things, that was okay. He said, but there come a time when we got to the corner. And he said, that's what took place at the end of the seventh church age. We turned a corner. And he said, that takes a Mason. He said, now you have to have a skilled hand to come and to do that work. Can't be just any preacher. Can't just be any reformer. Can't just be anybody. Now it's going to take a special gift. And so that's what God has given us. That's what he gives us. We've turned a corner. We're looking towards heaven, watching for the coming. See, the cap on the pyramid, as we would say, his coming back. The church must be resurrected soon, and we must get ready. See, and today, don't say I'm a Pentecostal. I believe this. I belong to that. See, that don't mean nothing. You've got to accept the person. See, the person Christ, eternal life. That's right. So don't say I believe the message. I believe the prophet. It's greater than that. It's not just saying, I believe the message. It's actually Christ, eternal life living in you. Yes. It's becoming one with him. It's knowing him in the power of his resurrection. And this resurrection that he's talking about, it had been coming to the elect. It was taking place. It was manifesting. It wasn't just something out there in the future. It was already working in that predestinated seed, all that had been quickened. That resurrection, that life was happening in them. And living. See? You've got to accept the person, Christ, eternal life. And it confronts every one of us. Don't forget that, see? But what a fatal thing to reject the leadership of eternal life. Amen. What a fatal thing. And many people don't realize how they're doing it. They don't realize how they're rejecting the person of eternal life. Because when they refuse the word, he's the word. He is the person of the word. He is God himself in word form, in spirit form. And so when you reject the word, or when you push it to the side and say, well, that's not so important. It is important. If he's spoken it, it's important.
Yes, sir.
Rather, how you feel about it, that's not it.
Amen.
It's how you accept it or reject it. That's what it comes down to. It's a fatal thing to reject the leadership of eternal life. Now, that life is present tonight, see, and it's been through all the way through, from Adam all the way through. It's here tonight. That person of eternal life, he's here tonight, see. That life is present tonight, that's right. The Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is here, which is Christ in spirit form. His spirit, the anointing, is here.
Amen.
That's right, see. And he goes to the scripture. He said, a little while and the world seeth me no more. Yet ye will see me. He's going to make a way for you to see him. See? For I'll be with you, even in you, to the consummation, to the end of the world. That's right. Jesus alone can lead you to that eternal life. Alone. Him only. Nobody else can do it.
Amen.
Him alone. He's in, and no man can come. No man can desire to come except he draws you.
That's right.
See? Jesus alone can lead you to that eternal life. There's no church, no denomination, no preacher, no priest, nothing else can lead you to it. You say, well, what are we doing? It's Him in you. Amen. That's it. You're just a vessel. You're just a surrendered vessel that He's using to bring people, to bring other seed, other sons and daughters like you. That's what He's using. And that's where He's hiding. He alone can lead you to that eternal life. There's no church, no denomination, no preacher, no priest, nothing else can lead you to it. You must be led by Him. See? The only one that can lead you. And could you imagine Him leading you out of His Word? Which that's Him. See? And if He's the Word and you're a part of Him, won't you be part of the Word?
Amen.
That's just simplicity, isn't it? Yeah. That's just common sense. Mm-hmm. And the first part is also common sense.
Yes.
Could you imagine Him leading you out of His Word? Mm-hmm. Brother Branham said a lot of times people are looking for the will of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
And Brother Branham said His Word is His will.
Yes, sir.
And so a lot of times when we are looking for a way around for what we want to do, when we're looking for a way to do what we want to do, and we know that the Word is against that. And so we look for another way to do it.
Yes, sir.
See, can you imagine Him leading you out of His Word? He won't.
That's right.
He won't. That's our desires. That's our something that we're wanting. That's something that we're thinking, something that we're in our mind. We're trying to make a way.
Amen.
Eve was looking for a way. Sarah was looking for a way. There's no other way.
Amen.
There's no way today because this bride is going to take all of the Word of God.
Yes,
if God puts something in her, she's going to take all of the Word. See, you are a part of Him. Won't you be part of that Word? The Word that God wants to pour the waters of salvation upon today to identify Him today. He's going to quicken that seed,
yes,
and it's going to identify He Himself in you.
Amen.
That's what it's going to do. Because the Word in you is going to be living. It's going to be manifesting.
Amen.
You're not looking for a way around it. You're looking for it to identify itself. See? Like the apostles identified Him, like Luther, like Wesley, like in the people in them days, see, identified Him. Isn't that something? Moses identified Him. Abraham identified Him. That's right. He's identifying Himself in you. It's His life. It's His Word. It's His attributes being made manifest. See? The Word that God wants to pour the waters of salvation upon today. See? To identify Him today, like the apostles identified Him, like Luther, like Wesley, like in the people in them days identified Him. And this is another age. It's the Word. And that's what it is. This is the Word age. And Brother Branham said so many different ways. And we've been hitting the quotes little by little, talking about the bride age, talking about the climax age, talking about the rapture age. It's the Word age.
Amen.
This is the Word age. This is the time when the fullness of the Word has come. This is when the fullness of the Spirit has come.
Yes, sir.
This is that time. The Word said that these things that we're seeing taking place now is predicted to take place in this hour. See? So that makes it the Scripture, right? It's the Scripture being fulfilled in this hour.
Amen.
And not only that, but the prophecy. The prophecy that was spoken, the spoken word coming by the prophet in the seventh church age, was speaking the words of prophecy for us. And that's what He said. He'll reveal the Scripture and speak things to yet come. He'll speak things to come. That's what that messenger did. He spoke things that were to come, and then those things that He spoke, they were manifested.
Yes, sir.
They were proven. And so that's some of what we talked about on Sunday. When He was talking about when the church ages was revealed, the seals was revealed. And then he as that was coming, He was prophesying those things were coming. He was prophesying it, and then it happened.
Amen.
He prophesied that seven angels would come, that they would meet Him there. And that he would be caught up in that constellation of angels. And he said he was there all day. He was up in that constellation. He was caught up in that. And they sent him back to reveal the seven seals. Did it happen? That was another prophecy in itself right there. He was sent back to reveal the seven seals. And then what come from that? Then the seven thunders, the plagues, the vials, all of those things, the trumpets, all of those things began to be unfolded and revealed from the prophecy to go west. So he was doing all of it. See, the word said these things that we're seeing take place now. It's predicted to take place in this hour. So accept Jesus Christ and let him lead you to eternal life. And he's talking about this person of eternal life. And so that's exactly what Brother Branham was talking about in the token message. In the token message, he said it's no longer a portion. Because he said during the church ages that he said they had the Holy Ghost, but it was in portion. They had a smaller portion. He said they had the same Holy Ghost, but not in the portion that we have it today. There's a difference.
Yes, sir.
If I take a quart of water out of the ocean, I don't have it all, but I have some of it, and it's a genuine thing.
Yes, sir.
It's a genuine ocean water.
Yes, sir.
But it's not all of it. And so he promised that all of it was going to be revealed. He promised that all of it was going to be manifested. He promised every type and every shadow, all of it was going to be brought to pass, made manifest.
Amen.
And he's done what he said he would do. So when he came to the token message, he said, no, it's no longer the baptism of the Holy Ghost as it was for seven church ages. He said, now it's the literal life of Jesus Christ in you. How can it be? How can it be the literal life? Because the fullness has come. He has come. And that's where they miss it. I don't know if any of you were able to listen to Brother Gumba's messages, but he went right into that. He didn't hold back in Pakistan there. He went right into that, that Christ has come, that he's here, that's the promise of the age. And he really laid into it, and he could feel that some of them wasn't agreeing with it, some of them wasn't believing it, and he told them that. You listen to it. It was really good. He really just poured his heart out. But he said, I know some of you aren't agreeing with what I'm saying. And so, but he proved it by the word.
Amen.
He proved it by the messenger. He proved it by the voice of God in this day. And that's the thing we have to recognize, that he has come. And who is he? He is the Spirit.
Amen.
He is the Word. And that's the form that he's come in. They're looking for nail-scarred hands. What good is that going to do you? If you don't have any revelation of what's being said, it won't matter which body that he's in.
That's right.
That's the difference. He was the same God that hung on Calvary. The same God was walking on the road to Emmaus.
Yes.
It was the same God.
Yep.
And so there they couldn't believe, and here he was beginning to open their eyes. Is that right? They're looking, they're thinking, no, this is not how it's supposed to happen. We thought he was going to redeem Israel. And now over here, he's beginning to reveal to them how he redeemed Israel.
Amen.
And what they saw was the fulfillment. But they were thinking opposite. And so that there it is. It always comes back to revelation.
Amen.
It comes back to a revelation. If you can't believe me, believe the works. Believe the things that have been believe those attributes that have been manifested in your midst, the things that have taken place. This is in the message, The Power of Transformation. We may have read this early on. I can't remember. I know we did read out of this message, but I can't remember if we read these quotes exactly. But I just pulled a couple of them because it touches on the point I want to get over tonight. See, let me stand like a Christian, not to be a hybrid plant, have to be babied in pedigree and brought into something. See, you're not brought in anyhow. Christianity, see, you're not brought into Christianity. You're born into it. See, you become a new creature. You're a seed of God that comes into the earth. Amen. What are you?
A seed
of God. Amen. That seed is in you. Brother Branham talked about we are creations of God. See? And I don't think we're going to get to that tonight, but he talks about that this is a creation of God. Brother Branham said, your flesh was created of God. Your spirit was created of God. But there's something in you that's eternal. Huh? There's something in you that's eternal. And that's Him. That's Him. It's His life. 121. Now we find out that He sprayed this poison spray. And that spray was the spray of modern understanding. What was the poison? Modern understanding. Huh? Science, education.
Yes, sir.
That's the poison. And people get caught up in it. And that's why it's so important for our children, for our young people to look and pray and watch and don't be misled.
Amen.
By science and education.
Right.
That's okay. It can help you. It can help you to read the Word of God. It can help you to make your way. It can help you to get a job and do the things that you have to do. But don't let it take the place of God.
Amen.
Don't let it take the place of the reality, of the presence, the person of eternal life.
Yes.
Don't let Satan deceive you in those things, because the world is beautiful. Science is beautiful. All of these things, education, all of those things, civilization, beautiful. It always makes it beautiful.
Amen.
Cain's sacrifice was beautiful.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it was. It was the flowers, the fruits, all of those things, just beautiful. And Abel's was a bloody mess.
Yes, sir.
But it, by revelation. Watch. Say, and that spray was the spray of modern understanding, education, science, civilization, the very things that we cherish so much. See? Did you ever stop to think that our great enemy in the natural life today among the nations is communism? Huh? And this, I hit on this not too long ago, talking about the different wars and things that was going on from the early days, even from Brother Branham's birth, the whole time that he was trying to get the message out, the whole time he was trying to bring the revelation, the whole time he was in this spiritual battle, then these natural battles were taking place at the same time. And then when World War II ended, we went through the First World War, the Second World War. Then in 1947, Brother Branham said, the Cold War started. And that was communism. That was propaganda. And there was a great fear that gripped the nation. I can remember it when I was a kid. I lived on the West Coast, and I can remember people were talking about it all the time. They were talking about communism, communism, communism. And they were worried about it. There was people that were spies and trying to infiltrate and do the different things, some similar to what we're doing now, just on a different order with all the nonsense they got going on now. And so those things were happening. And so he's identifying it in that day, that was one of the great enemies of the nations. Not just America, the nations.
That's right.
Because when the war ended, it was a power grab. And every country was trying to get as much as they could. They wanted to take over these little nations. They wanted to rule. They wanted to have more and more and more. It wasn't because they wanted the people in those nations. It's because they wanted their oil. They wanted their minerals. They wanted the things that were there in those countries. See, what is the God of communism? Listen to this now. What is the God of communism? Civilization. Education, science. We have to recognize, and I'm talking to the young people, and this whatever goes out. So, civilization, education, science, that's what the devil wants you to look at.
Yes,
he doesn't want you to look at the spiritual side. He doesn't want you to see the spiritual thing that's taking place. He wants you to see the natural thing that's taking place. All that, how I can get greater, how I can be better, how I can be richer, how I can have more of this and more of that, more of this and more of that. See? That's right, isn't it? That's what they live on and thrive on is science, scientific, sciences, a god of science, see, with the poison spray of this modern civilization, science and education. Now, I don't want to. I imagine most of you, I'll say I have, ever went out at Christmas time and go to these places. One year, years ago, matter of fact, we had lived here probably 10 years before we went to this McAddenville and seen what they have. The Christmas lights and the whole town literally is lit up. Matter of fact, I know Chico's listening. She was here at that time, and we went, and we seen those things. The girl seen some places when we was here, and it's you can't say anything, but it's amazing. It's beautiful to the natural eye.
Right.
See, but that's science.
Yep.
That's science and education. That's civilization.
Mm-hmm.
See,
yeah.
That's what Satan is producing.
Yep.
God made beauty too. He made it in the mountains and in the beaches, in the forest, in the trees, in the flowers.
Yes.
Yeah, you read Genesis. Literally read some of those things. They didn't bear no fruits. They didn't bear no nothing else. They said they were just pleasant
yep.
to the eye.
That's right.
Huh? Yeah, there's a stimulation there. Looking on something beautiful, there's a stimulation there. You can look at nature, as we talked about the ocean the other day. You stand there and look off into the vastness of the ocean. For as far as you can see, there's a fear, a respect that you see in that. There's an awe because it's so great and so powerful. You get in the mountains, see? When you get up there, and when you really get up in the mountains, and then every direction that you look, you just see mountain range after mountain range after mountain range. It's breathtaking.
Amen.
It's a beauty that God has put there. There's something, see? That's not man-made. That's God-made. There's a difference.
Amen.
Now, 122. Now, let me prove to you that education and civilization come from the devil. See? Now, I left some of that off. We've read those things many times. But I wanted to get this right here in 124. Now, if children has come up under that kind, see, under that kind of teaching, that's what their parents was. They have the nature of their parents, their denomination, see, and so forth. And they have to believe that. So they believe that because they're born under that parent. That's the point I wanted to drop in here. And you look at it. And Brother Branham said that's what that whore was in Revelations. Said she had harlot daughters. Why? Because they're just going to do what Mama did. That's what they're going to do. That's what they're going to reproduce. And so that's the kind of life they were raised up. That's the kind of parent they had. So is it in the denominational ranks. So it is in the message ranks.
Amen.
I can remember the things that we're seeing now in a big way were very small. But I can remember as a young Christian getting hold of a book, of somebody's message, and it was a book just like one of Brother Branham's books, and it had a family, the picture of the family on the book. And they had their dresses were high, and some of them had their sleeves. They didn't have no sleeves. They weren't covered very well. And I think the woman's, their hair was cut. The children's hair was cut. The wife's hair was cut. And this family was supposed to be believers of the message. They were supposed to be believers of the prophet of the seventh church age. And this was in the seventh church age. It was back there. And so I looked at it and I was amazed. I thought, how could this be? But now that's become common. It's become common now to see these young girls dressed that way. Maybe they go to church and their dress is dragging on the floor. But you catch them in town. You catch them in town and you see them. And it's like you. I don't want to get into all of that, but. I've heard a number of sisters say, your hair don't grow straight across. Is that right? Anybody's hair grow straight across? No. It don't matter if it's in the back, and it don't matter if it's right here. It don't grow straight.
That's right.
It goes all different lengths. So the only thing that can do that is a pair of scissors. And then what have you got?
Amen.
See? But today, We're not born under that parent. Our parent is the Word. Is that right? That's the difference. Because we're in the Word age. We're in the climax age. We're in the bride age. See, our parent is the Word. And when your parent is the Word, then that's what you're going to manifest. That's what you're raised in. That's the genes that's in there. That's the nature. That's the soul. Now, that's the Word that's living in you. That's your parent. And so that can only produce Him. Every seed can only bring forth of its kind. And so that's the promise. See, our parent is the Word. See, and the Word will say, I was born under God too. For that age, see, but this is the climax age. See, you say, well, I was born in the seventh church age. I believe that that seventh angel, he preached the same thing as Paul. He baptized just like Paul. He did this that Paul did and this that Paul did. And all these things, just exactly the same, exactly the Bible. Yeah, that was great for that age. But now you're in another age.
Amen.
Now you're in the climax age.
Right.
And in the climax age, we're not trying to reproduce what Paul had.
Amen.
What we have to do now, we are given the spoken word. We are given the revelation of the word that was hidden from the foundation of the world.
Yes,
we've been given something that nobody that ever lived on the earth knows. No other age knows what we know, because it was not known. It was not even, Brother Branham said, when they opened up that mountain and he looked down in there on that writing, he said, the light had never shined on that. You know what that means? It had never been quickened. It had never been brought to light. It had never been made manifest. It had never been known. Now it has come forth. Now the light has shined. Now the quickening power has come on it.
Yes,
that's a promise. And that promise is to you only.
Yes,
not to any other age. That is your word. That's your message. That's your revelation. And you can't come now and try to reproduce something they had in another day.
Amen.
You can only produce that. The spoken word of God.
Yes, sir.
See, you say, I was born under God too. For that age. But this is the climax age. See, this is the age beyond those denominations. See, we only brag on Jesus Christ. But we're thankful for the privilege, see, for the privilege of knowing by beyond any shadow of doubt that God has chose us in this last days.
Amen.
Praise be to God.
Yes.
That's something to be thankful for.
Amen.
That you know beyond any shadow of a doubt.
That
God has called you and revealed to you those seven thunder mysteries.
That's right.
You know, the word of this day. He's revealed that to you. See? God has chose us in this last days and has proven it by the signs in the heavens and in the earth and every one of them coming right straight back to the word. Praise God. He's proved it. He's proved it to us and in us. And he's proved it in the heavens. He's proved it on the earth. He's proved it in the scripture. He's proved it in the message. He's proved it every way. He's proved it by the spoken word, by the written word. See? So to prove that it's so, this age that we live in, the message and how it is. See, we're not a cult. See, we're not a bunch of fanatics. We're servants of God that's been called by the Holy Ghost. See? You'll have all kinds of names tacked to you, but that don't mean it's so. Is that right?
That's right.
See, we are what he said we are.
Yes, sir.
That's the difference. They called Noah every kind of fanatic. They called Noah every kind of name. They called him everything, that he was crazy, that it's never rained. It didn't matter. This revelation had never been known, never been spoken. They can call us crazy. That's right. But we know. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt. The brother was talking about that at the end of the service the other day. We know that we know.
Amen.
You, nothing can take it from you. See? Now, this is the message back in 1958. And this is just something I wanted to throw in here. Because Brother Branham preached this message. And it's called Lifting Him Up Out of History. And now, Brother Branham, when he's doing this, he's lifting him up out of history, but he always brings him to today.
Yes.
That's the difference. And that's the thing we must always do. We must bring him today. So the problem is people, a lot of times, They're recognizing him back there, and they're looking to him in the future, but they're failing to recognize him right now. And so, but Brother Branham is lifting him up out of history, showing what he was. That in Adam, he was the God of the earth. Showing that in Moses, he was God to the people. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Showing through every one of those prophets, showing through Jesus Christ that he was God. Once again, come on the earth. The fullness of the Godhead bodily now manifested in a man.
Amen.
Right there. And walk with man in simplicity, in humility. Not an educated man, not an intellectual man, but the living word made manifest.
Amen.
That's what he was. See, paragraph 40, you can't call him with your lips. He doesn't come by lip service. He comes by faith. When your faith, not your long prayer, you're burning out, he comes with that little dim faith that's weighed down in your soul. Now I read that and I thought, why? That almost sounds like a belittling. And I thought, no, that's exactly what it is.
Yes, sir.
And that's what our problem is. We want this great, powerful awakening. We want this great, powerful, thus saith the Lord. We want this great, powerful faith that I got it, I know it. Sometimes it's a little dim thing down in there, just barely audible, just barely feeling, just barely. See? When Satan is shouting, Satan is saying, this is okay and that's okay and it's like this and it's like that. But that little dim faith is just down in there, holding steady, holding steady. And sometimes you follow that, and you're wondering, your mind's still wondering, is this right? Is this right? Is this right? And then afterwards, you see that was God. You see it was God all the time. You say, why did I doubt that? Because it wasn't some big thunderbolt. God's not in the thunderbolt. He's in the still, small voice.
That's right.
That's where he's at. That's the scripture you know. He comes by faith. The long prayers are fine. All these other, that's all good. God likes that. He likes for you to spend time with him. But that's not it. It's got to be that word. It's got to be revelation. It's got to be you receiving him by revelation. See, here comes that little dim faith that's way down in your soul that can take a hold and say, that little pain's been that brought me to this tabernacle tonight can light my soul afresh, see? Can send me away from here a burning and singing just like the birds in the air. Why? He's a historical God and a present day God.
Amen.
See? What I see you see, what you see back there, he's the same God tonight, can do everything he ever did. And more, because he has more for every age. He's waiting to be called on. Call upon the Lord, he will hear you. See? Speak to him in songs. Pray to him. Believe him. He'll answer. And these words I say in closing. That's the reason this meeting tonight. That's the reason this meeting is started. I believe that God, and here's what I wanted to get in this little thing. I throw this in here because I wanted to get this point of God making the promise and God fulfilling the promise. Listen what he says. I believe the God that told me 27 years ago, I think this is 1958, 27 years ago. I'm not sure that comes somewhere around 1946, somewhere back there. And I think Brother Branham said, when the angel commissioned him, it was the same time that he said that Israel become a nation. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
The UN didn't recognize him till 48. But in 46, God recognized him.
Yes.
And God told the prophet.
Yep.
God told the prophet. They were coming home. Things were happening. Things were moving. And so those things were happening. And he was given his commission. And so he was fixing to go out. And so he was getting ready. And you know the mistakes that he made. You know those things. He's got some more. He's got some more he's going to say here. See? So, but he told me 27 years ago, when we put this foundation stone in yonder, that I would preach the gospel around the world. So when they were building the tabernacle, they had a cornerstone, and they put all these prophecies and different things in that cornerstone, that foundation stone. And they opened it way, way years later. And so all of those things that God had spoken were put in there. And so now, waiting for it to come to pass. All those prophecies, waiting for it to come to pass. See? And God had said, I'd preach the gospel around the world. Here's a boy with a sixth grade education. He's just in a Baptist church in a little town in Indiana. And his pastor is a big Baptist preacher and a fierce preacher. And he laughed. And he said, you, a sixth grade education? You're going to pray for kings and potentates, monarchs? You're going to travel around the world? Listen now, God told this prophet when he was a young man, before any of it was done, before he went out, God told him what was going to happen and what his ministry was going to do. And he began to tell people. He went straight to his pastor and he told him. And he wrote it all down. And he began to tell the people in the church. And people began to laugh. And people began to make fun. It was just like Noah. Just like Noah building an ark. Because this was the craziest thing in this age of great intellectual learning and intellectual preachers and all the theology, all the Bible schools, all of those great things that was going on. And now here is a sixth grader who now God is telling you are going to spearhead a healing revival around the world. Before Oral Roberts, before Tommy Osborne, before these other great prayer warriors that went out on the healing campaign, this was the one. This was the one who spearheaded it. I ran across that book today, God's Generals. This guy, he wrote several. He wrote about the healing campaigns. He wrote about in those early days and about the revival. And I didn't realize, I thought it was one book because it came through years ago. And Brother Branham's in there. I'm sure that I read it years ago. But when I was reading about each one of those books, I just looked them over. Briefly, and not one of them mentions the prophet. You get Billy Graham and you get a couple other big preachers, and then you have a half a dozen that you haven't even heard of. And every one of those books was the same way. This one over here then is going to have Oral Roberts, and I forget the other ones, but there's two or three names there you never heard of. And not one of them did I see Brother Branham on the cover. Not one of them. Not even mentioned in the prefix of what's in there. And so, how could you miss the one who spearheaded all of it? The one who God used to spearhead this thing. How could you not have him on the front? See, God told him he would preach around the world. He brought it to pass when they laughed and said, where are you going, Billy, with your seventh grade education? See, I said, I'm going in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's right. Listen, when I preached my sermon here before leaving 11 years ago, now this is when he left. This is when he was leaving his church. He was a pastor of that church there. This is when he was leaving now. The first was the commission and those things and the things that was happening. Now he's leaving his church and he's going on the field. And so here's what he did. When I preached my sermon before leaving, 11 years ago across this pulpit, Miss Gertie sitting there sang that song, Only Believe. And the great giants stood yonder. Who were these great giants? Huh? All these great theologians, all these great preachers that was standing against him, telling him that that wasn't God talking to him, that was the devil talking to him, telling him that those gifts was not God, but it was the devil. That's what he'd been telling. He was trying to share it with other ministers. He was trying to tell them what was going on. And they're saying, that's the devil, man. That's the devil. You got to get that thing off of you. You got to get delivered from this. Mm-hmm. But it was right in the Bible, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
When God revealed it, there it was right in the Bible.
Amen.
And I always marveled that when that prophet, he told his wife, he said, I'm not coming home until he shows me. He said, I can't take it anymore. He said, these things that are happening, I can't take it anymore. And said, he had to know these visions and this gift, these things that was taking place. He said, I don't understand it. And he said, all the preachers are telling me it's the devil. And he said, I'm going to die there because I'm not going to take food or drink. I'm not going to do anything until he tells me, until he reveals this to me. And said, when he got in his cave, when he got there and he was waiting and he was praying, and he said, this is so beautiful. He said, when I felt his presence, when I knew he was there, before he spoke, I seen it in the scripture. Huh? Why? Because he was in the presence of God.
Amen.
And God took his mind right to it.
Yes,
took his mind right to it in the scripture. There it was. They in the Bible, they called it the devil too.
Yes,
there was the gift of God doing the works of God and them calling it. And Brother Branham said, before he spoke it, and he told me, he said, he explained everything, he told me everything. He said, but just as he was about to speak, he said, I seen it. It hit me what it was. And I thought, that's what the presence of God does for every one of us. It changes your whole thinking. It changes everything. See? And he said, those great giants stood yonder, and I preached on David and Goliath. Praise be to God. And his pastor, although Baptist, was a powerful preacher. And Brother Branham said he was a great man of faith, a powerful preacher of healing and those things. But he couldn't conceive that God could use somebody without an education, because he had a great education, had a degree, all of those things. He was a great preacher. And here was a boy, poor boy, with no education. Just couldn't imagine that that's what God would use. See, I preached on David and Goliath. There was science and the great known world to condemn divine healing and put it to shame. And everyone tell me, boy, you'll crack up out there. They'll throw you in jail. They'll do this. See, but the God of history come on the scene. See, yonder, and told me to do it. And I did it by his grace and by his mercy. All of those great intellectual giants, all those great denominational heads. Just think, he told all the preachers that he had talked to, all the places that he had been. Now he was going full time. And they're standing there telling him, you're, with your doctrine, and you don't have any education, and you're preaching the serpent seed, and you're preaching baptism in Jesus' name, instead of in the titles, these different things that you're coming with, said it's contrary to what all the churches, all probably 90-something percent of the churches was teaching. That's right. Could you imagine standing like that? That's a lonely feeling. But when you have thus saith the Lord, you're going to stand. You're going to stand anyways. That same God that was history of 10 years ago has raised on the scene again. Just as sure as he brought that to pass, he shall bring this to pass. He's the God of history. He's the God of the present day. See, he never slumbers. See, he cannot die, for he had no beginning or no ending. Praise be to God. That's right. Oh my. He went out. That prophet went out among those intellectual giants. He went out among Goliath. And he stood with the word of God. And he fought spiritual battle after spiritual battle. But God was with him. And God proved his word. And he went around the world. And the dead was raised. And the blinded eyes were opened. The gospel was preached. The power of the resurrection. People seeing God living in a man. In a gift. In a ministry. In this last day. They seen it once again. See? So on one hand, it was that battle with that Goliath of the spiritual realm. But then on the other hand, it made me think of all of the intellect that was around Brother Branham. There was a lot of intellect. There was a lot of great men. that were attracted to the gift. They weren't all attracted to the word. They weren't all attracted to the revelation. But they were attracted to the gift. And when they seen the dead raised, when they seen the blinded eyes, when they seen flesh created, when they seen the cripple made to walk again, now it had an effect on them. And they wanted to be close to that. And there were some great men. And so some of them, they were able to, there was one brother that was, I think, a wheat farmer. And so he had the ability, Brother Branham was able to go in and see that wheat under the microscope and see, looking for that germ of life in there. And he showed how that in those early stages, they think that the germ is there. And he said, it's not. He said, that's the shock. And so he was able to take those things and bring them by revelation and place them in the scripture. So that wheat plant is all the way through the Bible. It's all the way through the Bible. And now here he is. And those false anointed ones, all the way through the Bible. And now here he is, through these great men around him, he's able to look into the microscope and he's able to see that thing. And he being a believer, and this is how you will be too. This is how you are too. Is when you see things, you automatically take them to the scripture. You automatically take them to the message because you are spiritual minded. You have the mind of Christ. Yes, and so when you're looking at things, you're comparing it. You're bringing it into the spiritual realm and getting the spiritual benefit of understanding in that. Right. There was another brother that was a rancher. And in those days, was early on when they were doing the artificial insemination. And so that's when they were taking the sperm of the bull, and instead of letting them mate naturally, they were artificially inseminating the cows. And so they were getting it from the male, and they were inserting it into the female, and what they call straws. They put it in a little thing like a straw. And so he was able to also see that under the microscope. And what did he say? He talked about that one in a million. He talked about how that all of them are going around, and said they're just passing each other. Those eggs and those sperm cells, said they're just bumping into each other. They're just mixing around, maybe a couple million of each one. And so they're just going around, and said directly, one of those eggs and one of those sperm will attach themselves. And he said, and all the rest of them die. Yeah. All the rest of them die. Yes. Think about it now, because that's what it is in the spiritual. Amen. That which is quickened brings forth the manifestation. Right. All the rest of it dies. Yep. So it's that one in a million. One in a million. So there he was, able to see it right under the microscope. He was able to see them do what they do. And another time that was really outstanding. There was another brother that had a citrus farm. I think it was in California. Yeah. And so they were driving in to this farm and said the first thing they noticed as they're coming in is this citrus tree, and it had every kind of fruit on it. Mm-hmm. It had oranges and lemons and limes and tangerines and tangelobes and every kind of citrus fruit, grapefruits. All of them was in this one tree. And Brother Branham was marveling. He was just marveling. And he told the brother, he said, brother, he said, how is this even possible? He said, well, brother, he said, the tree itself is an orange tree. He said, but all of the rest of the branches are grafted in there. And all of those branches are living off the life of that tree. Yes, and Brother Branham was like, praise be to God. Amen. And he said, brother, I just got one question. He said, next year, he said, that tree it'll only bear oranges next year. They said, oh, no. Every branch will bring forth of its kind. Yep. Huh? Amen. Is that exactly the scripture?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Genesis to Revelation. Every seed can only bring of its kind.
That's right.
And the prophet just began praising God. And they don't know what's going on. They said, Brother Branham, what is it? What is it? And he takes them right in the Scripture.
Amen.
Huh? Takes them right into the Scripture and shows them those things.
Right.
God puts him there to reveal those things, to bring them out.
Amen.
it's powerful. It's just powerful. Think what Noah was trying to get across. Think what he was trying to get across to the people, to the scientists of that day.
Amen.
Think what the Magi was getting across to the people. No, we seen his star. Huh? We were there. We were down there in India. We seen it. And we've come back to tell you about it. He's here. And they said, and the king wanted to know when. Said 2 years ago. Said when that happened, he was born.
Yep.
That king believed it.
They
killed all the children from 2 years old.
That's right.
That right? But he didn't get that one. Because God sent him. That's right. Praise be to God. Oh my. That's right. Okay. Now I got one more. And these quotes are in God's only provided place of worship. And now I'm not going to try to read them all because I'm not going to keep you late. But I'm going to read. There's two paragraphs in here I want to read, and there are paragraph 263 and 264. So if you can jump ahead, I want to get these two. I want to at least put these two in there, and then if you want to read the rest later, you can do that. And he says a lot of good things. The headstone's crying what? Grace, grace.
Amen.
Pass from death and creed into a living word of the living God. Praise
right.
be to God. God's only provided plan for his age. This is his age. Huh. I hadn't even caught that before. That's another way. The bride age, the climax age, the rapture age. His age. This is his age. This is when he's come. This is his time. This is when he's in his bride. This is it. Praise be to God. Amen. God's only provided plan for his age. See, his sons in the word age. What age? The word age. This is the word age because it's the fullness of the word. Yeah, they had some of the word. Yeah, they had some of the spirit. But this is the word age because this is the fullness of the promise. This is the manifestation, what he had in his mind. And we are so blessed. We're so privileged to be a part of it. Praise be to God. His sons in the word age quickened by the Spirit, like a spark that's lit off something to make it alive, and seated now in heavenly places in present tense. Huh?
Amen.
Not past tense, not future tense, present tense. You are now sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
You are like those that Paul talked about in their day, that were born by the word of their day, not in the fullness, but that part, that portion that they had. Now, he said that you have been translated into the kingdom of God. And you've been translated. Praise be to God. Oh, I love it. It's in there. It's in there. And what became a revelation in this last day, what was hidden, what they couldn't comprehend about the rapture, it was already spoken about and already happening all through the ages.
Yes, sir.
It was happening. And Paul said to his people, you've been translated into the kingdom.
Amen.
There you are. Man is the one who interpreted it through the ages and came up with the word rapture.
Yeah.
No. You've been translated.
Amen.
So rather you say raptured, rather you say translated, what happens? You are no longer a part of the world.
Yes, sir.
You are a part of the body of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You have been caught up into the presence of God. He's the Word. He's the Spirit. He's eternal life.
Amen.
And you've been caught up in His presence.
That's right.
That's a spiritual realm. That's a spiritual place. You have the mind of Christ. Don't ever let Satan. Brother Branham said, when we don't keep in his presence, he said, then that old Adam nature begins to drift back and we begin to act like it. We begin to talk like it. He said, don't let it happen. Stay in his presence.
Yes, sir.
How do you do it? He's the Word.
Amen.
Stay in the Word.
Yes, sir.
Stay in the Word and watch him speak to you.
Amen.
Just get in the Word and watch Him speak to you. He will.
Right.
I'm telling you. It's like, it's, you know, the things you do sometimes, you think, oh, we should do this more often. This is one of them. This is the greatest one.
Right.
You get in there and you see it.
Yeah.
And you realize it. And that He can really talk to you.
Amen.
And you know there's things going on in here. And there's things going on in here that only you know.
Yes.
Or only you and Him know. And so when He brings it right out of that message, and He brings it out right at the right time,
Amen.
That you need it.
Yes, sir.
And you've been struggling with this, and you've been struggling with that. And now He comes right on the scene now,
yes.
And He hits it.
Yes,
you know that that's no coincidence.
Amen. Yes,
that's right. And you, it will happen more and more and more as we stay in His presence.
Amen.
In His presence. See? Now, see? Now seated in heavenly places in present tense, already alive, and subject to every promise in the Word. And then what does it do? You being part of God's gene,
Amen.
A part of the Word, other men a part of God's Word, seated together. See? It manifests the entire body of Christ because there's no leaven among you. Huh? No. It's all Word. It's all Word. It's just a body of believers, a body of children, sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
See? See what He's talking about, Brother Brown? See? There's the Spirit coming in right while He's preaching. He knows what this brother needs. And He identifies and says, see there, brother? See there? How many times you'll hear that prophet preaching, and then he starts telling them what they're thinking. He's telling them. I know what you're thinking. He said, you can't hide now. He's here.
Yep.
He's here. You can't hide.
Amen.
He'll tell them what they're thinking. And they'll start thinking something in their mind. And he said, you want me to call your name?
That's right.
Is that what it's going to take for you to believe it? You want me to call your name? He said, I'm not going to do that. But you know, I'm telling you exactly what you're thinking.
Yes.
See what he's talking, no leaven among you, just the Word only, see? Seated in heavenly places in the door where He put His name,
Amen.
Christ Jesus. He is the door. That's right.
Right.
264, no leaven among you. Listen to this. This is so beautiful. That brings the entire fullness of the Godhead bodily among you.
Yep.
Huh? When we get all the leaven out, when we get in His presence, we get one with Him, and it's just you and the Word. See? Then that brings the entire fullness of the Godhead bodily among you.
Amen.
And it couldn't be done in Luther's day, and it couldn't be done in Wesley's day, see? And it couldn't do it in the Pentecostal day,
Amen.
Pentecostal age. What's He telling you?
That's right.
It was coming to the climax. It was coming to the time all that Word all down through there was building and building and building. And now the climax of it all, He's revealed Himself.
Amen.
He's here. He's not here in portion. He's here in His fullness.
Yes.
See? The entire fullness of the Godhead bodily among you. Did He say it?
Amen.
He said it. Did He mean it?
Yes.
He meant it.
Amen.
See? But in the day when the Son of Man will be manifested and revealed. Brought back the church together with the entire deity of God amongst His people.
Amen.
How much of it? The entire deity. The entire fullness of the Godhead bodily.
That's right.
Praise be to God. The entire deity of God amongst His people. Showing the same visible signs. Manifesting Himself like He did at the beginning. When He was manifested on earth in the form of a prophet God. A God prophet. That's right, glory. Promised by Malachi 4, promised by the rest of the Scriptures, where you worship at, the house of God, seated in present tense.
Amen.
Praise be to God.
Right.
Amen. Let us stand. Praise be to His lovely name. Oh my, let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, these These words stir our hearts, Lord. These words just make us happy. These words, Lord, just it's something moving, Lord. Thanking you, praising you for this great hour, Lord, that these things are made known. And Lord, they're not just made known, but they're living in your wife. They're living in your bride. They're living in the body that's moving, that the head has joined itself to the body, Lord, and is bringing forth all those attributes, Lord, all those things that's promised for this day, this hour, day by day. Lord, this is not a time for us to be down and out. This is not a time for us to be unhappy, not to be dissatisfied, Lord. This is the time, Lord, for us to give praise and glory. This is a time of worship, Lord, to lift your name daily, to give praise and glory and honor to you. Lord, what an hour. This is better than being inside that ark that was after the rain had started and went for 20 or 30 days. This is better than that, Lord. This is more secure than that. That could have failed. That could have leaked. Lord, this is sealed. This is finished. Lord, nothing can touch that seed now. Nothing can touch those sons and daughters of God. They're in the presence of God. Praise be to your lovely name. Lead us, guide us, Lord. Let us surrender more and more and more every day, Father. We thank you. We praise you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise be to his name. Praise be to God. We're going to ask Brother Michael to come and give us a song. And let us just worship him a little bit and give praise to his loving name.
Amen. He could have kept preaching.
Amen.
And I was thinking about that seed, you know, in this age the word is going to identify who is seed and who isn't seed. And that just come to my mind, and you know, it's like he was talking about that tree and all those limbs. He said, but if that tree ever puts off another limb, it'll be an orange limb.
That's right.
But, so we appreciate that. And I had a thought in my mind, and it's gone now. So we're going to sing, he's the same God.
Because my Savior is living in me.
Talking about a God of the past, of history.
Right.
We're talking about a life, like the brother was talking about, a life that is living. The very life of God living in you today.
Amen.
Think about that. I mean, that just ought to put you on your knees in one sense,
Amen.
And it ought to make you shout to the highest mountains in another sense.
Amen.
That we have the same God. We have the very life of God living in us. It's Him.
Glory.
And like the brother said, if you want to hear Him talk, just get right there in His Word, and I know we're all testimonies of how He can speak to us when we can dedicate ourselves and pull into that realm and to just break away from everything. And that's Satan will get in there. He'll get in there a little bit, and he'll give just a little bit of something. Oh, this is not so bad, and he'll start right there. And you think you're patient. Satan is really patient. And he'll give you that, and he'll let you sit there. It might be years, and he'll move you a little bit. And he just gradually grows. But once we catch him, once we realize, and that's the thing about this message, it identifies Satan in every one of his tricks.
Yeah.
You've got the answer to every one of his
Amen.
His little games.
Amen.
Every one of his little
Amen.
Tricks. Everything that he wants to pull over, you've got the answer for. Why? Because you are the very life of God today being manifest. That's who you are. That's your identity. They talk about a real identity now for you to have to apply or do something like that. They got to prove something. We've got a real identity. We've got the real identity.
Amen.
I feel so good.
Amen.
I don't know what to do.
Amen.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we appreciate you so much, Lord. How you've come among us tonight, Lord,
yes.
and you spoke to our hearts, Lord. And Lord, you drawed us a little bit closer to you, Lord. We want to thank you for that tonight, Lord. And we want to praise your name, Lord. We want to bask in that revelation, Lord.
Yes.
As we go from this place, Lord, let it not become a common thing, Lord. Let us not come be complacent about this that we're talking about tonight, Lord, that we're manifesting through your grace and mercy, Lord. That, Lord, that we realize who we are in this day, Lord, that as the world goes to an identity crisis, as the world is going crazy, Lord, you have a bride that's set on a hill. Lord, she knows who she is. She knows what she's supposed to do. She knows what she's supposed to say. She knows what life she's supposed to live. Lord, we know this through your grace and your mercy, Lord. Help us to continue to surrender to your
yes.
to your Holy Spirit, Lord, to your love and your mercy, Lord. As the scripture, again, we want to refer to the scripture again, Lord, that you seek such to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. And the only way we're going to know that, Lord, is in your word, Lord, as we dedicate and surrender our lives to you, Lord, that we be a vessel, that we be a light, Lord. For the world, the only way the world is going to see you, Lord, is through us, Lord. And it makes us think of that scripture, the no man after the flesh. Lord, we don't want to look at our flesh, Lord. We want to look at what you've done in our lives, Lord. We want to thank you for the victories, Lord. And we want to thank you for the trials, too, Lord, for they come for our purpose, Lord. They come to draw us that much closer to you, Lord, to draw more on you, Lord. And we appreciate you and we love you, Lord. And as we go from this place, be with each one. Be with our brother that's on the mission field, Lord. You know every need, Lord, and you've provided that way, Lord. We love him and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.